Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
You've heard that if you can dream it, you can do it. But there's a whole lot of space between dream and reality. At least 1,000 steps, as it were. How do you get from point A to point B, let alone from A to Z? Well, here at the Social Network Station, our goal is to help you achieve your dream, your goals, regardless of where you live on Earth or what conditions surround you. So when I got to know Sarah Capra and how she has gone about getting from A to B to C, etc., to realize several dreams, well, I thought of you and how her example can not only inspire you, but more importantly, teach some principles you can apply to realizing your own dream by creating your own opportunities. This is your host of the Social Network Show, Jane Karwoski, experimental psychologist, Dr. J, along with my co-host, Jim Nico, chief instigator of our parent company, Social Network Intermedia, LLC, and executive producer of SNI Productions. Today, you will meet Sarah Capra. She is a co-founder of Orate, an online marketplace where event organizers and public speakers can easily find one another. Orate was the winner of Washington, D.C.'s 2014 Startup Weekend and is a recent graduate of the Startup Factory Accelerator Program. Orate helps event organizers find the perfect speakers for their audiences and their budgets and helps speakers find eager listeners. Sarah is an entrepreneur and advocate for helping individuals like you achieve their full potential. She has worked in global partnerships at the United Nations Foundation, where she helped develop strategic partnerships for initiatives that support women and girls, global health, US-UN relations, and sustainability. She has volunteered in India and South Africa, helping empower women through job skills training and in local communities. Sounds like a perfect match for our 50 Shows initiative, doesn't it, Jim?
Yes, it does.
Sarah has also supported entrepreneurial and professional development groups such as Startup Weekend in Denver and Millennial Week and Girls Health Ed, and has served as a career mentor for Streetwise Partners. You'll find her on Twitter at Miss Capra. Welcome to the Social Network Show, Sarah.
Jim, Dr. Jane, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be on this morning.
Dr. J does a pretty good job of intros, but boy, I'll tell you, you sound like wise beyond your years and what you've accomplished already. It's going to be exciting to see where we go next.
And you have so many great ideas, which you have successfully tested yourself. Most of us learn best from examples. So tell us about how you started, even back in high school, to proactively seek out opportunities tailor-made to meet your own goals.
Sure. Well, you know, it's been a diversified road, I can tell you that, that led me to start Orate. But really, even from high school, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do yet, but I knew who I was and what I stood for. So I made a list. You know, I'm passionate. I'm a lifelong learner who really wants to make a difference, help others, be well-rounded, and understand the world around me. So I also learned early on that if you wanted to inspire me, if you wanted to motivate me to succeed, all you had to do was tell me no. And when I was looking at undergraduate programs, I was really keen on the University of Denver. It's a private school, and just for a little bit of context, my father was terminally ill at the time, had been diagnosed with cancer. The medical bills were piling up, and in discussing different school options with my mother, she said, "Sarah, you know what, we just can't afford it." So I don't think there was even a moment of consideration given to another school after that. Instead, I sought out different scholarships with her support personally by really looking at what my strengths were and what made me unique among my peers, and then spent week over week in the high school counselor's office. And the combination of those things led to receiving 5 scholarships for my first year of college until I could really prove myself to receive more funding from the university. And that was kind of the moment that I adopted the Ayn Rand outlook, you know, the question isn't who's going to help me, it's who's going to stop me.
Well, then, after you got accepted and had your funding in hand, did you just take the summer off until fall?
I was so tempted, and, you know, I did take a little bit of time, but I knew how important it was to get started on my goals for my future. And so before I even started my undergraduate degree, I was gung-ho, I was ready to take on the world, and I thought at the time that I wanted to go into the film industry. So my goal was to be behind the scenes doing, quote-unquote, the business side of things. And to be honest, I had no idea what that even meant. And I had no real business or technical knowledge about films or the industry, and absolutely no connection. So during that summer, between my last year of high school and freshman year of college, I went into the career counselor at the University of Denver, spoke with him about my ambitions, started talking to other people about them. And I remember the counselor saying, you know, you're only the second incoming freshman to come into my office before the year even began. And so I realized then the importance of planning ahead and taking action early, because you never know just how much that can distinguish you from others.
Right. That must have set you apart and put you in a good light. Well, what opportunities did you find?
Yeah, you know, it did. It helped a lot. And what came out of it was an internship 2 summers in a row as a productions assistant for a film in Breckenridge, Colorado. I also got connected with someone at Warner Brothers about a potential internship there, and that was pretty exciting. But, you know, ultimately I decided that wasn't the route that I wanted to go, but the process I followed, I realized, could be replicated for other endeavors that I wanted to pursue. And the process really started with not just setting goals, but writing them down. You know, what steps did I, you know, was I going to take that I felt like were going to get me there, and what obstacles were getting in my way, so I could clarify what the tactics were that I really needed to employ to overcome them. Because what I learned was that committing goals to paper and reviewing them regularly actually gives you a 95% higher chance of achieving them. And there's actually a study that was done by Harvard, and you know, they asked a group of MBA students, have you set clear written goals for your future and made plans to accomplish them? And it turned out only 3% of the class had actually done that.
Wow.
And then, yeah, it was pretty amazing. And then 10 years later, they went back, interviewed the same class, and found that 97% of that class, of the class combined, the 3% were earning on average 10 times more than that 97%.
Wow.
Pretty staggering results.
So I'm curious now, Sarah, as to how you created or found opportunities for the next great interest to grab you.
Well, you know, early during my undergraduate program, I became really interested in public policy. I'd taken a domestic policy class, a culture and politics in Latin America, and so this time I had some knowledge about the subject matter, but again, had no connections. And I also knew that, of course, D.C. was where I needed to be. I'd never been to D.C. I didn't know a soul there, but I knew, obviously, it's our nation's political hub, but that to get there, I would need more experience. So I volunteered for a campaign committee locally, and again, began talking to everyone about what I wanted to do. So you're starting to see a kind of a thread here. And a family friend who'd observed my growth over the years was a part of that committee. And he helped set up a conversation with a contact of his who was connected with several federal agencies in D.C. And as a result of that, I was able to get an interview, spent the summer interning at the Department of Commerce.
Well, that's great. So each step of the way, it sounds like you asked people you did know for ideas to help you, and then they helped you contact people you didn't know who they thought could help you. And of course, with each new step, you met more and more people. So your face-to-face and online social network just kept on expanding.
That's exactly right. You know, it's so important to make your goals known, build a network, stay in touch with people, both online via social networks, and take the time to sit down with folks in person to update them or send them an article that makes you think of them and their interests. And then share where you want to go with those people, because they're usually the ones that want to see you succeed the most. And just a brief anecdote there is, when I was interning at the United Nations Foundation, 2 years before I ended up working there full-time, mm-hmm. I was working with this really great team and ended up keeping in touch with one of my colleagues on that team over time. And I remember at one point being back in D.C., sitting down with her and her saying to me, you know, Sarah, I always remember you because you always kept in touch.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that just speaks to how important it is to you know, periodically check in, and that helps you keep on people's radar and be top of mind.
Right. Well, that is great advice. And coming up next, you will hear more about Sarah's ways of making her own opportunities. I'm Jane Karwoski with my co-host Jim Nico, and you're listening to The Social Network Show. Our guest is Sarah Capra, co-founder of Orate.me.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
Visiting my 75-year-old aunt the other day when her phone rang.
Hello? It's you again.
She seemed nervous. Uh-huh.
Well, I don't think I need any more life insurance.
The caller was doing a great job keeping my aunt on the line.
Okay, so you need my credit card number?
My aunt went to get her purse, so I decided that I would ask a few questions. Well, as soon as I introduced myself, the caller hung up.
McGruff the Crime Dog here. Recognizing the signs of fraud can be difficult for older people. Often they're very trusting and consider it impolite to hang up. The National Crime Prevention Council wants to educate seniors so that these scams can be reported to local law enforcement agencies.
Financial fraud can include identity theft, fake check and wire transfer scams, investment and credit card fraud, and online charitable solicitations. Unfortunately, only 1 in 5 of these crimes are reported. To learn more, go to www.ncpc.org. That's ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the U.S. Department of Justice.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Welcome back to the Social Network Show, where Jim Nico and I are chatting with the co-founder of Orate.me, an online meeting place for speakers and event planners. So, Sarah, you have always loved learning about other parts of the world. How did you follow up on that?
Well, I spent a lot of time applying for programs and scholarships for programs that would allow me to travel. And, you know, not just travel, but study or work or volunteer when I was in different countries, because I felt like the experience was so much more enriched when I did that. So I volunteered in places like India and South Africa, doing everything from marketing to tutoring in English to helping abused women find independence through job skills training. And so I knew I had to keep that exploration. I knew I wanted to keep supporting women and those who are really struggling, but I couldn't be everywhere at once.
I've noticed that problem too.
It's tough, and I still want to be, but it doesn't seem to be working out. So, you know, in line with that, I'd always been fascinated by the United Nations, this global governing body, you know, that can do things that no other entity can. And yeah, I'd done a bit of research on how to work there, but I really didn't have a clue. I didn't know what to do next. And at this point, you know, it's after an internship that I'd had locally in Colorado with Senator Mark Udall. And that internship led to a recommendation. And also, you know, talking more about it with family and friends and what I wanted to do next led me to learn about an intern at the United Nations Foundation. So, you know, doing that and then some additional experiences in between brought me back full circle there again 2 years later to join the Global Partnerships team. And that was really probably one of the most rewarding experiences of my professional career thus far, because not only was I working with an excellent team, but it again allowed me to work and interact in this really diverse and positively challenging environment.
Well, I have a question about practical considerations. How did you decide where to live when you went to D.C.?
It was tough, but I learned something new and got better at it each time. And first, someone recommended the George Washington University dorms for that first internship I'd had at the Department of Commerce. And so I shared, I will never forget, a studio dorm with someone. I also shared it with mice and cockroaches, and then I got smarter, and I learned the next year to look on Craigslist, found a basement, one bedroom, and now I've lived, you know, all over D.C. really, and you know, work and life can be stressful, so I always look for places, you know, close to public transit, affordable, safe, and calm, so you can kind of create your own low-stress environment outside of the hustle and bustle of urban life. And lesson learned, when you're taking on a new city, do your homework. Find a place you'll be comfortable and productive in your personal life as well as your professional.
Very good. Another possibility, too, is to check the off-campus housing of the universities. That's what I've done when I've lived away from home, and it's resulted in some wonderful friendships. So you are talking on now taking all these experiences and applying them to your own enterprise, Orate. And if you, by the way, our listeners, are planning an event and need great speakers or are a speaker, be sure to go to orate.me to connect with those who can help you meet your needs. Sarah, please sum up for me our discussion so far with a few crucial lessons that you have learned.
Absolutely. And certainly, Orate is the amalgamation of all of my past experiences to date. And the key lessons I'll leave you with are, number one, and I'll quote Larry Page here, have a healthy disregard for the impossible. You've got to view adversity as a learning opportunity, because challenges will always be there. But, you know, adversity doesn't just develop character, it reveals it. And so it's important to, however it suits you best, to just learn how to work through those challenges. And then help others without knowing what or if you'll receive in return. Do it genuinely, do it deliberately. You know, give the causes you're passionate about, but also the people you feel that you can really support with your specific interest areas, experience and skills. Because, for example, you know, I really enjoy helping with professional development and build the strength I've developed over time. And so I did it a lot internally at the United Nations Foundation with colleagues. After winning Startup Weekend DC and experiencing how powerful that platform was, I was so excited that I jumped online and, you know, tried to start Startup Weekend Denver. It turned out someone had beat me to the punch, but got in touch with them, asked to join their team to help organize an event, and they were kind enough to let me. And, you know, it's also one of the elements that I love about Orate, being able to work towards helping people share their knowledge, share their stories, is truly inspiring and important to me. And there's so many amazing people out there like you both and, you know, others with, you know, incredible insights, knowledge, stories that just don't have a platform to be able to convey their message. And so, you know, Orate can really be that platform for them. And then, you know, it's also important to connect. We talked a little bit about, you know, going out, getting advice, sharing your goals with people, but make sure to connect people in your different networks to one another and help them achieve their goals, because people really appreciate that. And you know, probably the most important lesson is write your goals down, make a plan. The process always starts with two questions. And the first is, if things could be exactly the way I want them to be, and you use your five senses, what would that look like? What would that feel like? And so on. Seems silly, but it really is a good exercise. And then the second is, what's getting in the way of that happening? And so breaking things down like that really makes it manageable, right? Because a lot of it's just mental and really seems harder than it is. And this is something that serves me and I know my colleagues and my peers well over time, but be proactive about asking for feedback. I think it's really hard for people to ask for feedback and also for others to give feedback, but let that be a guide for positive personal and professional growth. It helps set your own expectation. It helps you improve for things like performance reviews, and it helps understand others' perception of you, because sometimes it's tough to step outside ourselves and see what areas we really need to work on and what some of our true strengths are.
I wanted to just ask it, when you get, no, finish that, please, and then I have a quick question.
Oh, yeah, no problem. So the last, just briefly, is, you know, persistence is key, and I think that's probably a pretty obvious one. You may not always get the test score you want or the first job you apply for, but some things just take a little extra work, a little more persistence, and the more and more in life I find that first test or that first obstacle is really how companies, how programs, etc., attempt to weed people out, because they know that many people won't try again, so don't be that person. You know, take a step back, maybe implement a new strategy, and always try again until you achieve your goals.
Cool. Just a quick question. I'm not famous for this, but it's my favorite question, is either in a personal sense or even in the professional business sense, what is the most astonishing thing that's happening for you right now?
Oh, wow.
What astonishes you, in other words?
You know, in starting this company and starting Orate, I think it's really the ability, the desire for people to want to support what we're doing. And I think that it's partially because it is, you know, such a powerful platform. It allows people to talk about, you know, things that they wouldn't otherwise be able to. It gives them opportunities they might not otherwise have through different platforms. And also, you know, just to want to support the growth of this company, I think really speaks to its potential and where we could go. And both my co-founder, Veronica Eklund, and I, you know, and kind of the work that it takes, but also the work that we've put in. So I think it would be the willingness to give back and support our company and where we're going.
Thank you. That was a brilliant answer.
So you're finding that things are, you've sent things out, you're bred out upon the water, so to speak, and it seems to be coming back to you now.
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's never a moment, a day where I'll say, okay, you know, I've done my good deed. That will never happen. I think there are far too many incredible things that people have done for me and my friends and my family and life. And so I think it's definitely a lifelong goal to pay it forward. And so I plan to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we certainly wish you the best with Orate.me, because that is something, again, to reiterate, the whole purpose of it is, you know, that there's people looking for speakers to inspire their audiences, to educate them, to inform them, and so forth. And living here in Las Vegas, we certainly know you could attend a conference every day of the week and every week of the year if you wanted to. So there's certainly a big market there. And then there's the people who are accomplished speakers or enjoy public speaking and have wonderful ideas but are lacking a platform right now. They can go to Orate.me, correct? And what is the process?
Well, if you are looking to speak and be on the platform, it's simple. You just go to www.orate.me, and there's a button on the homepage you can click that says create a profile. You quickly fill out the profile, and then that submission form comes to us, and we get in touch with you, learn more about your goals and the types of audiences you want to be in front of, what your mission is, your personal brand is, and then we go from there. And then if you are an event organizer, you can either email us at info@orate.me, or on the homepage again, there's a place to submit your event, and you can, you know, tell us what the details are, and we will get to work right away finding you the perfect speaker for your webinar, for your workshop, for your seminar, for your small meeting, whatever it might be.
Wow. Interesting. I love that you can also plug in speakers at the last minute when someone cancels. I think that's really the genius, or the seed, the kernel that attracted me the most, that started this whole venture. Fascinating. Thank you.
Right. So if someone has a speaker cancel at the last minute, they now have a place to go to find someone competent to fill in for them at the last minute. That's awesome.
I love it. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us, Sarah. And again, you're on Twitter at Miss Capra, C-A-P-R-A. And we enjoy your thoughts. I think you've presented a wonderful message here, because you said several times that you wanted to do something, but you didn't have a clue. And then you went ahead, and I just have one last question for you. How was it that you went from not having a clue to kind of getting a grasp on what you needed to know?
Sure. So it's really about, and I'll quote Jeff Hoffman, who's the co-founder of Priceline. He talks about info sponging. So when you're not sure exactly where you want to go next, but you know what your interests are, what your skills are, what your experience has been, you know, write those things down. And then as you're talking with friends, family, as you're meeting new people, start to implement that info sponging. Take in, you know, be a good listener. Take in everything they're saying. Start, you know, reading different publications, because you'll start to connect the dots. And when you're looking for a new job, you don't look for the title. You look for the description of what you want to be doing, and the title should fit that. So that's what I would say. You know, when you're not sure, just keep soaking up information. Make a list of all of the things that you're interested in and your strengths, and, you know, surround yourself with people that are really going to share valuable information with you, and you will find out.
Okay.
Nice. Brilliant.
So there you have it. Go be an info sponge, everybody. Well, thanks for listening. And to our listeners, please take a look at 50shows.com, especially if you have important things to say, particularly to, for, or about women worldwide with dreams to live. And from now until we talk with you again, please have fun and be safe online and off.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media, coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.